Good evening, Pete, and thanks for your time.
No, my pleasure. We always had a fantastic relationship with the prison wardens. We've been up to the prison. We've been with and done programs with several of the bosses, and it's great to have you on. I mentioned at the beginning of the show there's talk of tasers and talk of pepper spray. Please use the airways and have your say.
Thanks, Pete. It's just to dispel a few myths and give a bit of background. So we're facing unprecedented levels of violence against prison officers, and also there's unprecedented level of violence prisoner-on-prisoner assaults. So, for example, each and every day, on average, across the country, there are 24 assaults on prison officers. Some of those are life-changing and so serious that our members can no longer work again. Just to highlight that fact, in the month of September alone, there was over 890 assaults on prison officers. That works out at 29 a day. So it shows no sign of abating. Now, over the last 2 years, my union have been campaigning and lobbying and insisting that we are issued with pepper spray, and it's the same incapacitant spray that the police use. We've had that on trial, a pilot scheme in four jails: Wilston in Yorkshire, Hull in Humber, Preston in Lancashire, and Risley in Warrington. So that's been on trial since last November. The results have been extremely positive. It reduces levels of assaults on staff and acts as a deterrent. So luckily enough, we got a ministerial announcement saying that it's going to be rolled out from January in the closed adult male estate. We're still in talks about rolling it out in the juvenile estate, which is extremely violent, and in a female estate. So we feel this is a big win. So just to dispel a few myths, it is an irritant. It, you know, it makes your eyes water. It incapacitates you. And that's a positive for us because that's the minimum use of force. At the moment, all we have on our belt is an extendable baton. And Pete, I would much rather spray someone in the eyes with an irritant than club them with a piece of metal. So we feel this is a positive. Now, if you're a conformist prisoner, you're well behaved, you show us respect, got absolutely nothing to worry about. This is designed for the most violent people that we face, the threat that we face, and also to break up fights prisoner on prisoner, because there's many an occasion when there's 3-on-1, 2-on-1, and if we step in the middle of it, we're at risk as well. So we can use this from a distance. It protects us, but most importantly as well, it protects prisoners. Now, just to mention tasers, Pete, we do not want prison officers routinely issued tasers. What we're saying is, we have two specialist teams, one in the north and one in the south. They are trained in the use of taser. They have taser in their army, but they've never been given the authority to use it. What we're saying is, as a tactical option, let them use tasers. Now, I know you've been in Liverpool prison, my home jail, and you've probably seen me inside of a cell. So can you imagine a cell that's been smashed to smithereens, glass, sediments all over the floor? At the moment, for us to remove a violent prisoner from a smashed cell, we go in a three-officer team, in full protective equipment, with nothing but a shield. We inevitably end up rolling around the floor in all that debris. Staff get injured, prisoners get injured. Then there's allegations, then there's investigations. It makes more sense to me to have specially trained staff. We open a cell door in that scenario, put a red dot on the prisoner's chest and say, come on, kid, put your hands on your head and walk out, and we'll place you in a clean cell. So we're happy with this announcement. Yes, we want tactical use of taser. I don't think that's going to come in immediately. Let's get this rolled out in January, and let's start making our prisons safe for staff and for prisoners.
Explain how, you've touched on it, but explain how dangerous and how full prisons are these days.
The levels of violence are unreal, and what we're getting is an ever-increasing violent prison population. We're getting a lot of prisoners who know no other language than violence, and no amount of cajoling and trying to get them to back down, you know, will work. For example, there was a riot at Long Larton prison a couple of weeks ago. That's a high-security prison, some really dangerous people there. And I visited the staff after that riot, and they convinced me that if they'd had power to use the pepper spray, they could have vacated that wing a lot quicker, and there wouldn't have been such serious injuries like fractured jaws, broken noses, life-changing injuries, PTSD, I've never seen so many of our members suffering from PTSD, not just because of the levels of violence they face, but because of the trauma that they face, you know, prisoners trying to kill themselves and attacking each other. It just seems to be getting worse.
I went in prison. I went and saw it for myself. I was made incredibly welcome in Walton Prison by the wardens and, luckily, the prisoners when I got on the right side of them. But I had to make my stand in that huge wing, that big one that you go from the main gate.
G-wing, Pete.
Yeah. I was living, looking over my shoulder all the time. How do your members do their job? Look over the shoulder.
Well, they're very brave people. But what you've got to understand, we've got a vocation in life and we want to help people. We want to try and make them better, make their lives better. And also when they're released back into society, they can conform and make something of their lives. But, you know, prisoner-staff relationships are so very, very important. And over the past year, we've been unable to meet prisoners here because of the business cuts that we've had off the Tory government since 2010.
Mark, let me stop you there. We're losing you a couple of times. You're going muffled. I don't know what's happening. Say that again. You were saying about this Tory government.
Yeah, since the austerity budgets came in, we've lost over 7,000 frontline staff since 2010. You know, so those staff-prisoner relationships have fallen by the wayside simply because we're unable to meet prisoners' needs. Now, as we're recruiting more, and Liverpool is a great example, they've reduced the prison population from 1,300 to 700. They're closing the wing down at a time and refurbing it, so the living conditions are a lot better. And, of course, there's more staff around to give prisoners more activity and meet their needs. And that's what it's all about. It's getting those relationships back on track so we can meet prisoners' needs. What the public have got to understand is the majority of prisoners are well-behaved, just want to get on with the sentence and make something of their life. We're talking about a minority, a violent minority, who are upsetting the apple cart for everybody else, and that's why we need these protections.
Right, we're seeing Mark in the papers all the time, phones and drugs in prison. What's your answer to that, and what do you say to that?
Well, what we do, we need the resources to stop them getting in, so security starts at the gate. I would expect everybody, myself included, to be searched every time we enter any type of prison. And when I say searched, I mean the type of searches that you undertake when you go on holiday. So airport-style searches, that's what we want in every prison. Bring back dedicated search teams. We used to have that capability years ago before the budget cuts, where we acted upon intelligence, searched cells, and also did random searches. And then we always had dog sections in prisons, so we had dogs walking down the perimeter wall inside the jail. So if a parcel came over the wall, then I'm sure an Alsatian could get to it a lot quicker than a human being. And, you know, there's technology out there, Pete, that can block a drone signal and can block mobile phone signals. So why haven't we introduced them?
You're making an awful lot of sense. Now, I've got to ask you about this. Human rights. We keep hearing people's human rights are being violated. When I went in to prison, I went through the system to find out what it was like when we did the programme, and I wasn't privately searched up my rectum looking for a phone because I was told you can't do that now.
No, that's correct. We cannot do an internal search. Only a doctor can do that. If we suspect anybody's got drugs, all we can do is hold them in segregation, and hopefully they eventually get bored being in segregation and hand them over, but inevitably that doesn't happen, so we haven't got the right to do that. But while you're on about human rights, please think about this. Think about how violent our jails are. Think about the unprecedented levels of violence POA members face on a daily basis, and we're expected to work in that environment till we are 68 years of age, because our retirement age is 60, got snatched from us by the Tories and increased to 68. We need that retirement age reinstated to 60.
What do you say about the extremists and what's happening in prisons?
Well, we have now got two extremist units specifically for those people who display that kind of behaviour. We're opening up a third. They are very self-contained high-security units. We only have about half a dozen prisoners on them. And when we're talking about extremism, the biggest fear at the moment is the rise of the far right. So we can contain them, but we're never going to change their mindset. What happens to them when they're released? That's down to our security services, but it is a worry.
Mark, what would you do if you were in charge of all the prisons? Do we need new prisons? Do we need less people in prison? Do you think you should change the system to put people in prison and education in prison to bring them out?
Yeah, what I would do is it just makes perfect common sense.
Mark, we're losing you again. Sorry, we keep losing you.
Yeah, what I would do, Peter, is I would modernise our prisons. That means build new ones, but keep them in the public sector. I would do away with privatisation because making profit off someone's incarceration is abhorrent. So I would modernise the jails, have good living conditions and good working conditions. I would put in-cell technology into every cell so a prisoner had a phone in the cell to maintain those important family ties. I would give them a 30-hour working week so they could learn vocational skills so they get a chance of employment upon release, but pay them a decent wage so when they did get released, they weren't relying on handouts. They could put deposit down on a flat. And I would return the recruitment levels to pre-austerity. So I'd recruit an extra 7,000 staff to meet prisoners' needs. So that's what I would do as a start. And I think that would make a big difference. And as for sentencing, Pete, that's not in my gift. But I would certainly think that if you get sentenced to 12 months or less, you'd be much better off serving that in the community with prison officers supervising you in conjunction with probation. We need to scrap this outsourcing, scrap privatisation, get it back into the public domain and start to think radical and change our prisons and make them safe. And that's our hope.
Mark, you've got a voice here. Anytime you want to come on, give us a ring.
Thank you very much, Peter.